We always have very observant people in our audience, and some of you have already looked at the worship bulletin, and you know that the title in the worship bulletin was, Did I Marry the Right Person? Well, Jan and I were talking about that, and she said, you need to change the title. And so I changed the title. Billy and I were talking about our lessons, and he is planning a lesson that's primarily directed toward people that are not married, perhaps university students, perhaps some people my age that might be thinking about getting married. But Jan changed my title, and so here we go with Am I the Right Person to Marry? This letter says, Dear Tech Support, last year I upgraded from boyfriend 5.0 to husband 1.0, and I noticed a slowdown in the overall system performance, particularly in the flower and jewelry applications. In addition, husband 1.0 uninstalled many other valuable programs, such as Romance 9.5, Personal Attention 6.5, and then installed undesirable programs such as Newspaper 5.0, TV News 3.0, and Basketball Game 4.1. Conversation 8.0 no longer runs. Please note that I have tried running Nagging 5.3 to fix these problems, but to no avail. What can I do? And it's signed, Desperate Woman. The respondent said, Dear Desperate Woman, first, keep in mind that Boyfriend 5.0 is an entertainment package, while Husband 1.0 is an older, more reliable operating system. Please enter command. I thought you loved me.html and try to download Tears 6.2. And don't forget to install Guilt 3.0 update. If those applications work as designed, Husband 1.0 should then automatically run the applications Jewelry 2.0, Flowers 3.5. However, remember, overuse of the above applications can cause Husband 1.0 to default to Silence 2.5 or Happy Hour 7.0. Whatever you do, do not, and in bold capitals, do not, under any circumstances, install Mother-in-Law 1.0. It runs a virus in the background that will eventually seize control of all your system resources. In summary, Husband 1.0 is a decent program, but it does have limited memory. It cannot learn new applications quickly. You might consider buying additional software to improve memory and performance. We recommend Cooking 3.0 and Hot Looks 7.7. Well, we don't always get those things accomplished in our relationships, do we? And so we have difficulties in our relationship. And let me tell you, Jan was exactly right in having me change the title to this message. It's not about, did I marry the right person generally? It's really about, am I the right person? I recently read the confessions of a divorced woman. She said that after 19 years of marriage, her Christian family was torn apart by divorce. Partly by her husband's faults, but she says also partly by my own faults. And then she listed some of her own failures. She said, I yelled a lot. I looked out for number one and tried to protect her. That was me, she said. I was cruel. I was self-serving. I was critical with my words, probably daily. I didn't serve my then husband enough. I didn't build him up enough. I did not respect him. I used to argue that once I felt he deserved respect, I'd begin to respect him. Elizabeth Corcoran is the author of those words in Confessions of a Divorced Person. When I start thinking about marriage, and I have to think about it a lot, I teach it, I do some counseling, and I'm telling you, her confessions are true for both husbands and wives. If I had read Confessions of a Divorced Husband, he would have written some of the same kinds of things. He would have thought about what is going on, what was going on, what needs to be going on now, what should have gone on then. We have a lot of trouble in our homes. If you want conflict, all you have to do is get in any kind of relationship. There probably is at least one student in this room that's either had My Marriage in the Family class or is in it now. And we talk about that. If you're in a relationship, you are going to have conflict. How are you going to deal with it? Are you the right person to get in the closest relationship that God permits us to have in this world? Are you the right person? 1 Peter 3, 1 through 7, for many people in our culture, is a controversial passage. But I want to remind you this morning that it should not be a controversial passage. If you look at when God generally, when God begins to tell a wife, here is something you must do, there is almost always a corresponding passage that tells husbands what they must do. If you look at Ephesians 5 that Billy's going to discuss some tonight, he's going to say, wives, here's what you do. Husbands, here is what you do. And it is going to say, you do so mimicking the Christ. Look at the parallel passage in the book of Colossians in chapter 3, and you're going to see exactly the same thing. Wives, here's your responsibility. And then immediately, husbands, here is your responsibility. When you get married, it's not about what can your spouse do for you. It's about loving your spouse. And that means that you are going to put your spouse's best interest first. So I want us to take a look at this passage, 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 7. But before we get into that, I want you to look just a few verses earlier. Here's what Peter wrote in chapter 2, beginning in verse 21. We may not have connected these passages in the way that we should because, you see, somebody came along in order to make Bible study easier for us, and they divided the books into chapters and verses. Peter didn't write, well, I'm going to write chapter 1. I've got that done. Now I'm going to write chapter 2. He didn't do that. He wrote a letter like you and I would write a letter, and the flow of the letter is here. Christ suffered for you. Beginning in verse 21, leaving you an example. Now, I have put that in bold and I've underlined it because I want you to think, husbands and wives and those of you young folks in high school and college that one day will marry, you need to look at the example that Christ left us that we should follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin, no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he didn't retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, on the tree. So you and I would have the opportunity to die to our sins and live for righteousness. And then Peter says, by his wounds, you have been healed. That sets up what we are about to think about for a few minutes. And so I want to give a word to wives. Those of you young ladies that aren't married yet, you plan on being a wife one day, I want you to listen. Those of you that are already wives, I want you to listen to what God says. In verse 1, in the New King James Version, he says, likewise. Likewise what? The NIV says, in the same way. In the same way that Christ did all of those things for us, wives, this is what you need to be thinking about toward your husband. How did Jesus do what he did? Well, he committed no sin. We need wives that do not sin against their husbands. He did not retaliate. We need wives that do not retaliate against their husbands when they do idiotic things. He made no threats. We don't need wives demanding their husband sleep on the couch or threatening to go home to mama or anything else when problems come up. He trusted himself to the Father who judges justly. Your husband, wives, may not treat you the way you ought to be treated, but God always will. Jesus put himself in the hands of his Father, knowing that he was going to be mistreated by man. Wives, likewise, in the same way, that's what you need to do. So, likewise, what do you do? Well, Christ was submitted. He was submitting himself to his Father. He was submitting himself to be subjected to the whims of man because you need and I need his sacrifice. And so we need wives who are willing to be submissive in the same way. Husbands have special needs. In the same way that Christ met your special needs, you need to submit to your husband and meet the special needs of your husband. But if you think about submission and the nature of submission, think about the Christ. I do not possess the emotional, psychological, physical strength most likely to go through what Christ did for people who mistreat me. When I think about those people coming by the cross, cursing him and spitting on him and making fun of him, if you're the Son of God, come down from there. I think with my emotional nature sometimes, my submission would slip a little bit and I would want to send a bolt of lightning. I'm not sure about that. I hope that's not the case. But I know this. I know that only a strong person can be submissive in the same way Christ was. It takes a strong woman to be submissive in the way that Christ was toward us, for them to be submissive toward their husbands. Submissiveness is not about being timid. It's not about being in servility in an ugly sort of way where you are like a slave, where your husband just can demand anything and everything he wants. It's not about subservience in a lowly sort of way that's ugly and hurtful. It's not about docility, being docile and just sitting waiting for your husband to tell you what to do and how to do that. It is not about being degraded by men in our culture, or especially it's not about being degraded by God. There are many women in our culture who are ungodly people because they say God mistreats women. God doesn't mistreat women. This is not about being degraded. And it is certainly not a sign of weakness. Submission, on the other hand, if you take a look at the Lord, it's a sign of strength. It is a sign not of weakness, and a greater degree of submission requires a greater degree of strength and personal character. And here's why. Submission is an act of the will. It is a choice. It is a decision. And God is saying, women, if you choose to be a wife, and there are many in here who have made that choice, you submit to your husbands in the same way Christ submitted to his Father and made a way and a place for you. Here's what happens. This passage says, a submissive spirit makes a beautiful wife. Peter says it this way, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Boy, we've got some beautiful women in this room who have a gentle and quiet spirit. It won't make any difference. If you grow to be 100 years old, you will be beautiful. Because age doesn't corrupt that kind of beauty. My daughter Rachel was telling me, she said somebody told her the older she's gotten, the more she looks like me. She said, Peepaw, the only reason people think I look like you is I've developed all those wrinkles that you've got. And so I blame you for my wrinkles. You see, we get our fleshly bodies bent out of shape and corrupted to some degree because of age. Not going to happen with a gentle and quiet spirit. And here's something really significant. It is that gentle and quiet spirit, not having to be seen all the time, not having to be heard all the time, not having to be up front all the time, not having to make every decision all the time, but that gentle and quiet spirit can win a husband who does not obey without, I put preaching in there, because you see, when I do marriage counseling, sometimes I will ask a husband, do you preach to your wife about these problems you're mentioning? Or to a wife, do you preach to your wife about these things? And if they start saying, yes, I say, stop it. Stop preaching and start living in the same way that Christ lived. Because you see, that's what God is saying. How do you do that? You do it with proper conduct and by reverence and respect. And you begin to think about the needs of men. If you look at some of the research, Harley had a great study in a book, His Needs, Her Needs. One of the top five needs of men is admiration. God knows that. God knows that. And so he tells us, as wives, behave yourself in a godly way, in the same way Christ behaved, and with reverence and respect. It's a powerful message to you wives. But God doesn't stop there, because he gives a word to the husbands, and he uses the same word. Likewise, guys, you may have been sitting there thinking, okay, girls, y'all get with it. But God says, okay, guys, you get with it in the same way Christ did toward you, toward his Father in heaven. And if you look, it's the same thing. We don't need husbands who commit sin against their wives, nor retaliate when their wives do things that they should not do. We don't need husbands who are threatening to leave. I hear couples in my office say, I told him if he did that again, I was going to divorce him. I'm leaving, and threats toward each other. We don't need husbands threatening wives. Christ didn't do that. We don't need husbands doing that. We don't need anything other than what Jesus did in facing the difficulties, the conflicts, the strife, the painful relational issues that come up. We need to trust ourselves to the Father who judges us justly. Guys, God is telling us to get with it. So, when we start thinking about that, here's what God says we are to do. Live with your wives with understanding, in an understanding way. Some of us guys are such clods. We have no clue what our wife needs. We know what we need. If you take a look at the research, for example, in Harley's book that I mentioned, His Needs, Her Needs, many of you mentioned that. If you look at the top five needs that were suggested by women and the top five needs that are suggested by men, none of those top five needs of women are in the top five needs of men. Obviously, that would be vice versa. And so we've got a real problem. Unless you understand what your wife needs, and you understand what you need, and those of us who are self-focused and we haven't learned anything about the difference between men and women, we need to get with it and begin to try to understand our wives' feelings. We need that. Give your wife a place of honor. She's not your maid. She's not your cook. She may clean the house and she may cook, but she's not your maid. She's not your cook. What a great place of honor. Took me a little while to figure that out. I got up. I may have told you this, but I got up from the table one day. Jan had fixed me a bologna sandwich, which I love. I ate it. I got up and I said, boy, Jan, thank you. That was great. She said, great, it's just a bologna sandwich. I said, yeah, but all I did was sit down and I ate it. You fixed it for me. Thank you. You see, she deserves a place of honor for a bologna sandwich. She deserves a thanks. She needs that. And then, most of all, if you live with your wives in an understanding way, you see, that's what Jesus did with us. He lived with us in an understanding way. We have a high priest that knows our problems. He knows the difficulties that we have. You young folks will not have one pressure that you can go to Jesus on Judgment Day and say, listen, Lord, you just didn't understand how much pressure I was under. You didn't understand how many people were focused on me and trying to get me to do something wrong. Jesus was tempted in every point, just like you. There's not a person in this room that will not be understood by the Lord. We need to be understanding toward our wives, guys, and we need to honor them so your prayers will not be hindered. God will listen to you. Now, when we start thinking about this question, have you married the right person? And I said, we need to change that to, am I the right person? Am I the right person? You see, I'm the right person to be the bride of Christ because that's what the church is. But if I'm going to be the bride of Christ, I have to be likewise as he was. And I have to submit myself to him. I have to give to him. I have to be thoughtful toward him. And that's what our invitation song is about. If you are new to our assembly, our custom is at this point, as we close our sermon, to offer anybody an opportunity to turn to God. If it's a public response you need, we would love it if you want to be, as it were, married to Christ. He is the head of the church, and we are his bride. If you need to be baptized into Christ, what a great time for that. If you need to come home, if you've caused a separation by your behavior between you and the Lord, turn around and come back and submit yourself to him. That's the purpose of this song. And our hope is that if any of you have a need to respond, you'll do that. Would you stand and let us sing?